Good morning, everyone. Gail and Don, you want to stand up? Okay. First of all, I just want to thank Providence and all the folks that helped support us going to Croatia. It is so true that while the three of us physically went to Croatia, Providence and all our supporters went with us, and it was an incredible experience. Now, as we start, let me just start us with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time. I pray that it would be a blessing to all that are gathered here, and also a blessing to the folks that hear and view this on various platforms. I pray that it would continue to be a blessing for us and also the people that we hold dear in Croatia. I pray that during this time that we would glorify you in so many different ways and that you would bless your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I do want to thank everyone that was involved. There's a phrase in Croatian that's Moja domovina, and it says my homeland. And certainly, I think I could speak for Don and Gail and I that we saw Croatia as a home. There's just a connection that we all three of us have, but it also speaks of our heavenly home, doesn't it? That someday we'll all be in heaven and we'll be joined with our brothers and sisters in Croatia. So that's just a great thing. Okay, visiting our brothers and sisters in Croatia. They were certainly our brothers and sisters. Okay, this is Don's a picture of Don's poster in Osijek outside the seminary.
Okay, yeah, it was amazing. The poster. What they did was they sent the bishop sent the poster. The concert that I was giving that night at the seminary was a concert where it was posted on the internet. It was live on the internet. So I was really nervous that night. But that was really something. Is it time for the next picture?
I did.
Okay. I did the bishop. Yes, the bishop is with us at the keyboard. The seminary concert in Osijek. I did everything from Light My Fire by the Doors, which I'd never done before in my life, and Almir Requested, to Jesus Joey's Man's Desiring. It was amazing. Amazing. On the keyboard, a key didn't work, and someone said, why don't I blow on it? And the bishop said, no, that won't work. He blew on it, and it worked. He had magic lungs. Okay. And then here's a picture of... Okay. Okay. Frank, forgive me.
Video of Don playing. He played at a facility for the elderly, okay? And he played several songs. And when we were done, just about this gentleman came up and wanted to sing along with Don. And you'll see what happened then. In the background you see Amir's sister Anna dancing with one of the folks that is from in the facility. It's a sweet video. This picture is an interesting picture. It was the place. Croatia is such a cafe culture. There's cafes all over the place. There's cafes all over the place. And we picked this one place. Actually, this is where Almir's father, Asim, and Almir usually get together for coffee in the morning. It's called Ray Bar. It's an incredible place. And you can see... There we go. Here's Don, here's Gail, and here's Tom Smith. So we're hanging out there. It's just a great place. And here's a picture of Tom, Almir, and Asim, Almir's father. Here's Asim at his workplace. He's a sewing machine repairman. Very, very humble and godly man. And we'll speak more about that in a little bit. Here is Almir, Don, and myself outside the church. It's basically a sidewalk, just off the sidewalk. That cross above is the cross that we helped fund. So because of Providence, they have this cross. Now, this is Don. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a picture of me in the Geneva gown. In that culture, in order to preach, you have to wear that Geneva gown, or else you're considered just a businessman or something like that. It was an amazing thing to realize that the kingdom of God is everywhere in the world, 4,500 miles from where we live. I knew that in my head, but now I experienced it, and what a blessing. What an absolute blessing to be able to say it in English and Almir translated it, even though I didn't understand all of the words in Croatian, yet it was amazing to hear God's people worship. And then here's a picture of several people with me. One of them is an amazing individual named Domagoj Rade. He's 21 years old. He's a computer programmer and a musician, and he goes to seminary in Osijek, and we hit it off immediately. It's amazing. I'm old enough to be his grandfather practically. And yet what we talked about with music and theology and everything was just amazing, and I'll have more to say about him later.
You can tell the intensity that Domagoj has as he expresses with his hands. The interest in Don and some of the things that Don had to say. It was phenomenal.
This is a picture of Almir, his mother Mira, his father Asim, and his sister Anna. And that was one day at church. We were all together, and we were just had a lot of fellowship at their church also. After church, the first Sunday, they had sandwiches for us and drinks for us, coffee for us. And it was just a wonderful experience. So I wanted to get a picture of them so that you would see, not you know who Almir is, but he has a family in Croatia. And we got to spend a lot of time with Asim at the coffee, having coffee in the morning. Anna, we visited where she worked. Spent a lot of time with her, got to talk with her quite a bit. Mira didn't really speak a lot of English. It was a little hard communicating with her, but She tried her best and she did well. But Anna and Asim did better, Anna especially with the English. So we got to spend some time with them.
They do smile most of the time.
Yeah, they're kind of serious there, but yeah, they do smile. This is where we stayed. This is called Villa Regina. This is the outside of our building, and this is where we spent a lot of time. This is a patio. We got to sit on the nice days. The first week we were there, it was like in the 80s, 82, like it was here. But it wasn't long. Probably 4 or 5 days later, it got real cold. And it was like in the 30s in the morning, maybe 52. We didn't hit much above 60 after that. But it was a beautiful place to stay. We had a wonderful girl, Mariana, who took care of us, cleaned our rooms, and got anything that we needed. And it was a wonderful place. And it was kind of centrally located in Karlovac, so we could walk everywhere we wanted to go, too.
These next pictures, photos, are just scenes of the beautiful parts of Croatia. Yeah, this is actually umbrellas hung above the street. This is this photo is, I think, you're to both Gail and I, just photos along the street that people had painted. This is interesting. This is a wood pile. In the distance there's a picture of the bakery that I went to most of the time, and the one morning I walked on the street and all this wood. What they do is they drop, they burn a lot of wood. Okay, they drop it on the street and then people pick it up.
We have this picture, which might seem a little strange, just some clothes hanging on a line. But in Croatia, you'll see clothes hanging off balconies, clothes hanging everywhere, which is kind of unusual to us because we all have dryers. They don't. It is a poor country. They do have washers, and they can do their laundry that way, but everybody hangs everything out. And so you can only imagine, like I said, it got cold when we were there, so it's going to get colder yet. So some of them, Tom said, have facilities in the basement of their apartment buildings where they can hang laundry out. But during the time that we were there, I mean, there was just laundry everywhere all the time. Everybody hanging their laundry out. It just was, you know, not unusual. For us, unusual to see, but for them, not unusual. Oh, and this is something Denny and I really like. This is where they pull in their cars, and in the back is their courtyard. They don't have yards like we do or driveways like we do. Right on the street, and I mean the whole way down the street, there'll be these pull-offs. And you actually had to watch when you were walking down the street because they'd come out of these things and you couldn't really see them. But behind there, it tells another story of them not having yards like we have yards. They don't have backyards. They don't have front yards in the front street or anything. They have what's called courtyards. And so they just have this concrete area in the back of these driveways, you know, where that's where they have their patios and outdoor furniture and whatever. So that was a little unusual to us, too, and thought you might be something different for you to see, more so accustomed to the yards that we have, and they don't have that. Okay. This is Denny's Bakery. We all said this one was Denny's Bakery. Denny liked this bakery. And what you did was in the morning before you went to have your coffee and meet up with Tom and Asim and all and sit down and talk in the morning, you would always stop at the bakery. There were bakeries everywhere. It was amazing. And everywhere you went, whether it was Osijek or Zagreb or wherever, there were bakeries everywhere. And what they did was they would put him in this, oh, and this is my bakery. they would put your baked goods in a little brown bag. And at first when we got there, you seen people walking all around with these little bags and eating out of the bag. They don't take it out of the bag and eat it. They eat it right out of the bag. So young people, old people, everybody walking in the parks or sitting on benches or whatever, or at the cafes, Everybody has a bag. Young kids going to school, they stop in these bakeries. They have pizzas, sandwiches, baked goods, breads. They're big into bread. And here you go. This is some of it. This is just a few. These bakeries were amazing, and everything was fresh. Everything was warm. Everything was made right there on site. It was wonderful. But that was kind of like an unusual thing. Not only were there a lot of bakeries, but just how they, you know, utilized them and how they ate from their bakeries and stuff. So that was a good thing. This is called the Promenade. And this is a little frog that's down in the front of the promenade. I'm looking at the picture so I can see what I'm talking about. But the promenade was somewhere, it was real close to where we stayed. So we cut through there a lot, but not only were we walking through there a lot, and going through because it was just beautiful. And to the left is a park. But everybody in Croatia walks everywhere. Everybody's outside. They live in very small apartments and houses, so they don't stay indoors, whether it be cold or what. They dress for the occasion. Babies, little kids, everybody's outside all the time in the parks. But the promenade seemed to be where a lot of people congregated and walked through, sitting on benches, just meeting up, talking. And everybody in Croatia, too, the other thing that I found, everybody has a dog. Everybody has dogs, and the dogs are so well-behaved. I mean, they walk without leashes. I mean, they just run in the park. They don't run away. It was amazing to me watching these dogs. And everybody was out with their dogs, out with their kids. And this is one of the places where we went, and we did some people watching, too.
How much did we walk a day on average?
We walked between 6 and 10 miles a day. Yeah, we
were so fast.
I think that's how they knew we were Americans, because they walk slow. Everything in Croatia is slow, and we're like trucking along. So I think that we kind of stood out.
Yeah, there's a phrase for that called Polaka. Yeah. Don would say to us, Polaka. this is Banjelicic Square, and it's the farmer's market there. You can see it's rather cool, but you can see so many people buy fresh vegetables a lot. But it's a beautiful place. Here again, Banjelicic Square. And this is St. Mark's Church, which has a lot of meaning to me. 2 years ago when I went, I was able to view this church as well. It's actually a symbol. You can see the symbols of Zagreb and Croatia on top of the church. This is where my birth mother went to be baptized. I was able to get some of her birth records from St. Mark's Church. This is interesting. Small scale of Zagreb.
Yes, we took a tour of the city of Zagreb one day when we were there, and I got to feel, Tom Smith was an amazing host. He showed me everything, and I felt all the structures, the massive structures, and some of these are, oh my goodness, 600-700 years old. It's just amazing how they were able to build those, and they were so massive and big, and it was quite an experience, just feeling the rough and smooth surfaces of all the buildings and everything like that, and to realize they had been there for a long, long time. Absolutely amazing.
Here's a park in Zagreb. This next picture means a lot to me. Some of my relatives are buried in this cemetery. It's an incredible, incredible place. The architecture is just amazing, and it speaks to the desire of most Croatians. If they have the money, they're going to spend on their monuments and the statues in this place. And I just felt it was a pretty stark place. You could see way in the distance where the mausoleum is. And I have several pictures of that if you'd like to see it. But I'd like to do some more research at this place.
Denny and I walked around this cemetery, which might seem a little odd, but like Denny said, it was just very different. That all the graves are raised, and they're all in marble, and there's maybe 5-6 people all in one. Like, you'd see 6 names. So there's a lot of people buried in one of these marble vaults. But as I walked along, Denny kind of went one way, I went another. As I was walking along, I seen this area where the plots were flat, and I went over just to check it out to see, you know, what that was, because it was just unusual in this cemetery. And what this is I found that all the dates were the same, April, May, 1945. Here, this is a mass grave. These people were slaughtered. We don't shot.
By the communists.
Yeah.
And after World War II.
So it really was, and I'll get emotional because it really, really was. It was hard standing there and looking. I mean, and this is just one of them. There was about 3 of these, and there was like 100, 150 people. So you're thinking, you know, your mind just starts going to these people and this mass killing. And we don't see that here. We don't know of that here. And so you were just standing there, and we just stood there and prayed for these people, the families, and to Zagreb and Croatia, because, I mean, this country still has evidence of war in it. It is sometimes very sad what you see there. This is a night where I got to speak. Almir came to me, and he meets with these gentlemen in Zagreb, and they call it the round table, and they pick a subject that they're going to speak about, and whatever that might be, and they just kind of throw out questions, and it's just a discussion kind of time. Well, Almir came to me after speaking about pro-life and abortion at his church. He asked me if I would mind sitting at the round table and I just talking about pro-life and abortion, and would I mind just, he would throw questions out at me, and, you know, the other gentleman then would just throw out questions, and would I mind just, you know, doing that night? So I was like, sure, you know, it kind of puts you on the spot, but yet it was amazing. We had a really good conversation. Usually it'll go for about an hour because some of the gentlemen have to catch trains to get back to where they live. We went an hour and a half. It was a very good conversation. It got very in-depth. We learned more about the abortion issue in Croatia, talked about pro-life, talked about young girls and pregnancy, and just had a real opportunity to, you know, enlighten them and them enlighten us about how everything works in Croatia, too. So it was really amazing, something I never expected to do there. So if you older people remember streetcars, well, this is what you ride around this was in Osijek, but that's in Zagreb and everywhere. You catch a tram. Their transportation is so different. I mean, we were catching trains to go places, buses to, you know, and this was another part of their transportation that we were able to use. And this is just a building. Denny and I both had taken a picture of this building, but it was funny. Denny and I, when we went back over our pictures, it was funny to see how many pictures we didn't know that I was taking, and he took the same one. So we kind of were seeing some of the same things. But this is one of the buildings that they are rebuilding on in Osijek. There's still a lot of rebuilding that needs done in Croatia. The war is very evident still, and it's in their face every day. It takes a lot, and they don't have a lot of money. Sometimes they'll buy a building and then not be able to do anything for it for like 2 years. And it might take them 6 years because it's just they'll do a little bit and then they get money and then they do a little bit and they get money. So it takes a long time for them to rebuild. It's not like here where you expect it done in 6 months. It takes years there. Oh, and this is what I'm talking about. I wish we could blow this up a little bit more, but I hope you can see. These holes in this building, that's from the war. That's a lot of places. I was just, you know, when we were first there and you're walking down the street and you'd see these big holes in blown out parts of buildings and all, and you, at first you're thinking, well, what is that? Because you're not used to seeing that around here at all. And then you realize, you know, this is from the war. They're still looking at damage from the war. And it's in Karlovac, it's everywhere. So it's still in the face of these people.
Yeah, the war of the 90s, the Homeland War. This is a picture of a Lutheran church that while we were walking along in Osijek, Amir left us for a minute and went into the church and asked if we can go into the church and view. It's a Lutheran church. And this is the pastor of the church. He was working outside, and he invited us in, and he told us the story. Lutherans are typically German, and there's a German segment of the population in Osijek. And these folks, after World War II, because they were German, they were basically told to leave and leave their church, leave Croatia, because they were German, okay? And because of the communists. Now, the communists had control of Croatia. You may have heard of Yugoslavia. The wars of the Homeland War of the 90s was when Croatia got their independence. And basically only after that were people allowed to come back into the country and into their churches. So it's an incredible testimony of what God's doing in Croatia.
Okay, Don. Okay, as you can see, Gail and I are we're walking in the Adriatic Sea. I initially did not really relish that thought of being 60 degrees outside and either swim or walk in the Adriatic Sea. I said, water's water. What's the big deal? Well, that was a foolish thing to say because I really did enjoy it. It turned out to be nice and sunny, and I walked, and it was just quite an experience. The beaches there are very rocky instead of sandy. But I was also informed as I was standing in the Adriatic Sea by Tom Smith that I was not far from where the Apostle Paul made a lot of his travels, and that was really impressive. You hear and read places in the Bible like Dalmatia. Well, we weren't too far from there. So that's outstanding to realize the history that's involved in that kind of thing.
These next scenes are of the people of Croatia. While the buildings, the parks are all beautiful, what impressed all of us the most were the people of Croatia and our brothers and sisters in Croatia. This is a picture of some of the folks at the facility for the elderly that came up and talked to Don after he played for them. This is a picture, I really like this picture, of typical teenage girls. I'm taking a picture of King Tomislav in one of the parks in Zagreb here. And these girls wanted to smile and wave.
This is in one of the parks. They were having a fair that day. And I noticed these women in this dress, and they kind of had their backs to me. So I kind of hurried up and snapped a picture. And the one girl on the far end here seen me, and she said, "Oh, stop." So she went and she got her friends, and she turned them all around. Everybody there was so willing to get their pictures taken. I mean, a lot of times we weren't asking because we were just trying to, you know, just snap pictures. But if they seen you, boy, they were willing to pose. They were willing to, yeah. So this was a picture at a fair that we were at one day, and got this picture.
Okay, I'll talk. We're riding on a tram, like a streetcar in Zagreb, and just talking to people. This girl, she's about 28 or so. We started talking to her and asked her where she's from. She's from Ho Chi Minh City. And some of you who are a little bit older know where Ho Chi Minh City was. That was in North Vietnam. And yet this is a girl that's studying in Zagreb. And it speaks to the world culture and how we could, as Christians, impact the world. Here are Americans in Zagreb meeting someone from Vietnam.
This is a funny picture. We were at a train station, and we needed a bathroom. And
it's
so
called a what?
A WC.
Water closet.
Water closet. So the signs were always, if you were looking for a bathroom, you looked for a WC sign. For a they were called water closets there. So Dawn and I, you know, we said to Tom, you know, I thought there was one over here. And Tom goes, well, we'll have to see how much kuna we have. And does anybody have like 4 kuna? I'm like, oh, what do we need 4 kuna for? Well, here when you go in.
That's the currency.
Yeah. When you go into the bathroom, you have to pay to use their bathrooms. So to me, that was like kind of odd. So I wanted to make sure this was a memory because we don't get to do that here. So once again, I just was going to snap this lady's picture, and she seen me, and she didn't speak English at all. So she was like, wait. And so all of a sudden she come up to the desk and she just posed. And so I took her picture. She was such a sweet lady. And we talked to her for a little bit. And like I said, she really didn't speak English. But there again, just communicating with people, taking their pictures. Everybody was just so open and welcoming to us, even in a water closet. And here again, this is another instance. I was walking by these ladies, seeing these really beautiful flowers, and it just was kind of unusual. You didn't see this a whole lot. And they were just kind of sitting there. So walking by, I just hurried up. I snapped their picture, and I'm walking along. And the lady ran up and tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, was like this, come back, come back. And then she sat down on her bucket, and she went like this. So another instance where, you know, she wanted me to take her picture. So I took the picture, and I thanked her, and I walked away. And she came running up to me again and tapped me on the shoulder. She wanted to see the picture. And I showed her the picture, and she thanked me. You know, so they were just so, like, accommodating. And everywhere, that was in Osijek. So, I mean, Zagreb, Osijek, wherever you are, these people were just, you know, just so welcoming and so wonderful to us.
As you see, here's another picture of Domagoj. And Tom Smith had told me that he hardly ever smiles. Well, he's smiling in this picture, and it's just amazing. One of the conversations that we had with him, he said, you know, I can't believe that Americans would come to see us. Why would Americans care about it? He's very, very fluent in English. And he said, why would Americans care about us? Well, you know, one of the reasons we were there was to, you know, really minister and help their church. There's only 15 or 20 members. And Domagoj is a very important part of the church. He's a musician, and he goes to seminary. I'll have more to say about him in a few minutes.
This is a picture of, 6 of us. Okay, you know, Gail, Dawn, Tom Smith, Almir, myself. The woman dressed in a penguin jersey is Valentina. And we had met her initially at one of the concerts and presentations that we had at the church in Christ the King Church, Almir's church. And she had talked to me about many, many things. One about genealogy, which is I'm very much interested in. And she's going to help me continue doing my search for my family. But she's just a very interesting person. We invited her to dinner with us, and she had texted Almir saying that she had a surprise for us. We didn't know what the surprise was, and we're waiting for her. She comes, and she's dressed in the penguin jersey. Yeah, she's been to Pittsburgh before, and I've actually met her friends and gave them cookies from Valentina, and I hope to, we hope to maintain a relationship with her. Gail will talk to you about her at this point.
Well, at that dinner, we thought that was the last time that we were going to see Valentina.
By the way, she's a first lieutenant in the Croatian Army.
Yeah, and she's going to nursing school now, too. So she's a very busy lady. So after that dinner, we thought, you know, we met her at the church. We met her for dinner. We kind of figured that was the last time we were going to see her and not have another opportunity. So she was just very open. She's Catholic. She doesn't really attend Olmir's church, although she comes once in a while because she has a friend there. We were actually in a McDonald's. There's one McDonald's in all probably Croatia, in Karlovac, and we ended up there one night just because it was late and we didn't know where to go for dinner. And Denny gets a text from Valentina, she'd like to meet for coffee. So Denny and I ended up staying at the McDonald's, and we met with her and spent probably another hour and a half. And at that point, we really were able to talk to her about the Lord and scripture. And the neat thing is now, you know, none of us had our Bibles with us, but we went on our phones. And, you know, you can pull scripture up now, you know, on your phone. So she was pulling up on her phone. We were pulling a little bit up on our phones. And by the end of the night, we had given her some different scriptures to read and to look up. And we really encouraged her to read her Bible. They're not encouraged there to read their Bibles. So having her phone, we knew that that was something, whether she had a Bible or not, she was going to be able to do. So we left her that night with some scriptures, and she actually went on and read them to us from her phone before she left that night. So we knew that things were touching her heart, and she is still communicating, like Denny said. So she's just one of those ones we really feel like we had such an opportunity to plant a seed, and she's just a wonderful person who is just very, very open, and we were just so excited to be able to spend that evening with her and be able to do that with her.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about my friend Don McGoy. As I said, he's an amazing individual, and it's amazing how we hit it off. You know, he's a heavy metal fan. I'm not, you know, but he loved my music. I don't know why. I thought he would consider it boring, but he loved it. And when we were talking, he had a paper that he had written when he was at the university. He had asked me if I thought that I had perfect pitch. And I said, yes, I thought I did. And I've had it ever since I was cursed or blessed with it, ever since I was young. Well, here he wrote a paper on that subject. And he sent it to me. And it is absolutely fascinating. Like I said, he's very fluent in English. And, you know, just talked about all the various aspects of it and how it can be, people can be trained with it and develop it. And we have been corresponding like crazy ever since I got home. Yesterday, he sent me 8 emails. You know, we've been sending each other music. We've been talking about church history, theology. I really believe this man is going to be used of the Lord. And, you know, pray for the Christ the King Church in Croatia. You know, there are Sundays when they aren't able to have worship services because Olmir is their only pastor. Domagoj said that they need more musicians. You know, one of the things that I came away with is a new appreciation of our freedoms in this country. I mean, when you have a country that's dominated by Roman Catholicism, and it's the state church, and then communism for 45 years, it is very, very difficult to evangelize. We experienced a little mild discrimination there. When I was told that I was scheduled to speak at the local blind association, the president of it himself is blind. I did meet him personally, but he said to Almir, well, you can't speak unless I preach at your church, and the man's an atheist. So Almir said, well, you can't do that. You're not a believer. Well, he's not speaking. Or there were other instances where Almir tried to get our talks and concerts in bigger places and open to the public, like libraries. They wouldn't accept it because we're Protestants. So, you know, we don't know how blessed we are with our religious freedom, but Domagoj and I have just been really corresponding, and it's a pleasure to know him, and I'm sure that our friendship will grow as time passes.
This is our last evening in Karlovac. This is Anna. This is Omer's sister. And we all met that night at Ray Bar and had coffee together. We're able to talk together. And, you know, this was an opportunity where Anna and I, we talked about the abortion issue. And she has real concerns for that in Croatia, in Karlovac. And it was just a time where her and I were able to just share, and I just feel like we had just a real close connection, and I terribly miss them. I'll get emotional. She was a wonderful, wonderful person, very easy to talk to, very, very open. And like I said, she's just a young girl, 27, 28 years old. So, you know, being able to talk to her about these issues with a young person who's up and coming, you know, she really felt like she wanted to do more. She wanted to find out more about what was going on there in Croatia as far as the abortion issue went and young pregnancy and everything. So this was the last night. Her and I had a great talk, and this is how we kind of ended our time with them.
By the way, at this time, they had gifts for all three of us. These people don't have much, but they gave us gifts. And I'd have to say that we went there, and we wanted to encourage them. And it was an encouragement to them. But I think more so it was an encouragement to us. It really was. This last slide. This is the last slide. But and it's a little bit of irony here. It's Asim waving hello to me at I think the second day that we were there. And it just speaks to me of the friendliness and the love that that the people, the Christians of Croatia have. Asim is, again, Almir's father. He's just an incredible, humble, and godly man who we do miss quite a bit. And I would ask that all of you that are hearing this either in person or on YouTube, that you would pray for the Christians, our brothers and sisters in Croatia. And you would also pray that the folks here at Providence and that we could continue to support these people. One way you could support them is there is, as we've done at least the last 3 years, is to fund a food box through Christ the King Church, where we could send them money so that they could compile food boxes for the orphans, the widows, the people who need it in Zagreb and Karlovac. So that's basically our presentation, and now we'd be available for questions if you have any. Yes, Art.
Abortion is legal in Croatia. They don't talk about it much. It's something that's kind of hush-hush under the rug. Some will tell you that you can have an abortion between 8 and 10 weeks, and others will tell you it's just whenever. And even here, what I found was in the Catholic Church, you know, they're very pro-life here, and it's not that there. It's a shame. There's guilt. There's not affordability to have a baby. So a lot of times the affordability is what really, is the main issue. The parents just don't want the shame of their daughter, young daughter, having a baby. So, it's just very secretively done. Nobody talks much about it, and so therefore, if nobody's talking about it and nothing is being said or done, it's not out in the forefront like here. There's just nobody's doing anything. So that's why, to me, going there and talking in Zagreb with those gentlemen, you know, you think you want to talk to the women, but really the men are the men in the church. You want to get to these men who are out there politically and socially and spiritually in the church. So to me, that was, I mean, God's opportunity. You know, here I am thinking I'm going to talk to these women, and I got to talk to these godly men, which to me is, and they were moved. They were very moved. And I really felt like everybody there, including Almir, was touched and moved, because if it's not talked about, they just don't realize the consequences of it. So it was a great opportunity.
Just to speak to the political climate of Croatia, as has been stated before, the Roman Catholic Church religion is the dominant religion there, not because people, all these folks are going to church, but because to be Croatian means to be Roman Catholic. The wars of the 90s, when Yugoslavia was broken apart, was primarily, unfortunately, between ungodly Croatians and ungodly Serbians. And Croatians identify patriotically as Roman Catholics. The Serbians identify patriotically as Orthodox. So the religions are not just, if I can say, spiritual, it's mostly political. So it's a very sad situation.
And not only that, Denny, but Tom Smith told me that the political corruption there makes Congress look like Boy Scouts, if you can believe that.
Additional questions? Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it had a disastrous effect. They couldn't worship in churches. The Christian church was very small and very quiet.
And not only that, but it's still feeling effects in some ways. They can't plant a church of Christ the King in Zagreb because, you know, the communist influence is still there. You know, when the communists destroyed the church, it just never revived. Very, very difficult to evangelize there.
Additional questions? Yes. Oh yes. It was very easy to communicate. I know some Croatian, you know, basically single words like "vala" means thank you. We all know what "dobro jutro" means, good morning. When you went into the bakery, you said "dobro jutro." Afternoon is basically "dobro dan," and then evening is "dobro večer." And so we did learn quite a bit of the language, but they speak mostly, obviously all the younger people speak English, but they appreciated when you spoke Croatian at times.
May I add something humorous?
No, don't.
Okay. Yesterday, I was emailing Domagoj. I'd sent him a website of a classic rock channel, and it's called HD Radio Rock and Roll. Well, he wrote back to me and said, "What does the HD stand for?" I said, "High dimension." I meant high definition, but I said high dimension. And he said, "Well, I thought it was high definition, but then I saw on there Harley Davidson ripoff kind of thing." And so he said, I said, "You know what? You're absolutely right, because I hear a motorcycle on the channel going, so it very well could be." So he's very perceptive in English and very fluent.
Okay, if there's no other questions, I'll just ask Ray if he would close us in prayer.